after much deliberation, I have decided to ban you.
You're bad for the good of the neighborhood. If they could take you back, I don't think they would, 'cause you and your friends are up to no good. You're bad for the good of the neighborhood. Bad for the good of the neighborhood. They want to cover up your head with a big black hood so you can't see them trade sheep for wood. Bad for the good of the neighborhood. You're the pink flamingo and a big intrusion in an otherwise happy home. Why don't you pack your bags and leave these intellectuals alone? You're bad for the good of the neighborhood. They broke the bones in your hands so you can't tie good, but you can tie with your feet, so screw them up good. Bad for the good of the neighborhood. You're bad for the good of the neighborhood. But you can't keep them down, 'cause the boy's too good. We do not want you playing our German games. You are not welcome.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. The Ultimate Podcast is here to stay. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Welcome, welcome, folks. Steve Weeks here. I'm back with the Ultimate Podcast right here in Houston, Texas. Wow, what a great break we had, and it's great to be back. The number one board gaming podcast in the world is here for you right now. Oh, man, what a great time we had while we were off, and it's good to be back and talk about unbelievable activity while we were off on Board Game Geek. I had a little fun, too, posting here and there while I was on vacation. I took a lot of hits, it looks like, for not talking about the banning. You folks got to understand that I'm talking about Michael Barnes banning. I did the little tribute thing, which I thought was perfect, a perfect commentary on the situation. Apparently, the multitudes of you out there did not get it. But that being said, what happened was I had two shows, and Chris Farrell, who was on the last show that I did, will vouch for this, that I had done his interview way in advance, and Jennifer Stone, and I put them both on there for the season finale because I knew I wanted to have that show in reserve because I knew I was going to have to take off for a vacation. But I'm back now, and we can talk about this. Wow. Who was it? Mr. Skeletor. What happened to my testicles? Where they're back here. In full force, Mr. Don't worry, Mr. Skeletor. You're the one that's lost yours, it looks like, on your avatar. I'll be good now. I'll be good. Okay. All right, Michael Barnes banning. You know, before we get into that, and by the way, Michael's here. He's going to talk with us, and we're going to cover the whole thing in nauseating detail. Actually, I should say, welcome to the 16-part miniseries on the Michael Barnes banning. Because we're going to cover it, like I said, in nauseating detail. But we're also going to talk about some games. We've got a lot of great new ideas for the podcast in Season 2. You're here for Season 2. We're going to have a lot more audience participation type things. In addition to your normal criticism and bashing of the show, when I advertise it and you leave your comments, I'm going to ask for some votes on some things and from other kinds of participation from you guys out there that want to participate. And those of you who don't, just go up and look up your Kalis reviews or whatever you want to do. But if you don't want to participate, stay away. If you do, if you enjoy this show, I appreciate it. By the way, I'm way behind on my email. I'm not ignoring you guys that have sent me email. I'm gonna get back to you on that, I promise. And those of you that I talked with that we're going to be on the show. You're coming up. Your time's coming, and we're going to try to get everybody on the show that wants to be on the show this season. The banning. What can we say? I got a kick out of reading all those threads, and I got to thinking about talking about the censorship and the banning. I got to thinking about what would Benjamin Franklin, if he was still around and the internet was here, what would he think about all this? And And I started doing a little research, and it turns out that somebody on the internet had already written a great article about this, about Benjamin Franklin and what he would think about the internet. And I want to read a little bit of that to you. Let me pull it up here. Forgive me if I forget the author here, but I think you can find it if you Google for it on the internet. He talks about Benjamin Franklin. He said, Franklin early on decided that the surest guard against tyranny was free expression. Free expression, including specifically the free flow of ideas and a free press. According to him, quote, no tyrannical society can long exist when it cannot control the flow of information. And what he says, one wonders what Benjamin Franklin would have thought of the internet. The freewheeling internet might have easily delighted Benjamin Franklin. Certainly, he was not one to shy away from offending anyone. And believed, when truth and error have fair play, the former is always an overmatch for the latter. He might have been concerned, however, at the constant barrage of worms, hackers, computer viruses, and the inevitable knee-jerk reaction, does that sound familiar, of control freaks to limit the internet. I think that's very appropriate when we're talking about Michael Barnes and the banning. He probably would suspect that these, quote, security needs of cyberspace lie in the seeds of liberty-denying shrubs. As Isaacson notes, America's democracy learned that it could thrive in an atmosphere of unrestrained, even intemperate free expression. And indeed, its democracy was built on a foundation of unbridled free speech. Now, in the centuries since then, the nations that have thrived economically, politically, have been those like America that have been most comfortable with the chaos and even occasional messiness that comes from robust discourse. Now, that pretty much well describes the internet and its true greatness. And the gentleman here says Ben would have liked it. And I very much agree with this. And when we talk about, we're going to get into more of this with Michael when we talk about the internet and we talk about his banning. You may have noticed, those of you that have been on my site, that both Aldi and Dirk are now on the arch enemies list. Aldi, of course, for the banning, because in my opinion, I read the reason Aldi gave, and I read the quote that Aldi blamed for the banning of Michael, and I don't buy it one bit. Not one bit. What Michael said was not in the least way offensive. He said he would criticize Schlosser, Vassal, or in any of their reviews he didn't agree with. And we're going to continue to do that on this show, no matter what. If I see a review by any of those guys that I disagree with, I will hammer it and continue to hammer it. Because frankly, if I disagree, nothing's going to stop me. And it's not a personal attack. So you guys with thin skins out there, get over it. It is not a personal attack. It's a robust exchange of ideas, just like we read from the previous article. Okay? That's why Aldi's on the archenemy list. Dirk made it simply because of his comment on the whole thing. Even if it was humorous and said with humorous intent, when Dirk said that a benevolent dictatorship is the best form of government, come on, we don't even take that as a joke here at the League of Untouchable American Gamers. A benevolent dictatorship. He's on the list and will stay there until he retracts that statement. This whole banning issue is really out of hand. It is one of the most underhanded, worst decisions Aldi could have made. And quite simply, it has. And even I wonder, you may have noticed one of my posts that I put on there, trying to bring peace to the situation and get Michael back into the fold of Board Game Geek, was not even replied to or responded to by Aldi. So it's very simple. He has sparked this war, and we will roll over you with all our force unless the following demands are met. And there is one demand. It's very simple. All we ask is that Michael Barnes be reinstated with full posting privileges on Board Game Geek. Not only that, Michael Barnes will be given full admin rights as to offset the Gestapo tactics of Daniel Karp and Matthew Modine. Is that his name? Modine or Modine? Those two that have really, really run off. Another great guy, if you've been on my site, was talking about he just posted a link to Michael, and they threatened to suspend him, which is absolutely ridiculous. So meet those demands. Meet that one demand. Michael must be reinstated, or you will see a war like you have never seen. Any of you guys out there, I want to ask you this. Any of you guys out there feeling Schroedered for me? Schroedered? Did you see the post by, I forget his name, the guy that said, we need to start using the word Schroedered, which means I feel embarrassed for you. Do any of you guys feel embarrassed for me? Schroedered. Can you see John Wayne using a word like Schroeder? I don't think so. That guy needs to get over himself there, man. That should be one of my goals, I think, for season two, is to inflict mass Schroederism over my audience for this time. A lot of posts, too, on why I am continually harping, which I don't think I am, but I do have a lot of posts that mention Michael Barnes. It's very simple why. Michael is the most important person in board gaming today, whether you like it or not. I mean, face it. Most people that are into board games are... possibly have been to Board Game Geek and know about Michael, and he is the celebrity right now in board games. I can't think of anybody that's even close. You know, Aldi and Dirk have shrunk to the background, and of course I exclude myself from that. I'm in a league of my own. But Michael Barnes is here, and we appreciate him stopping by on the season premiere of the Ultimate Podcast. I want to bring Michael in to the league with the true fanfare he deserves. He's certainly a hero in my mind, a guy that has just wanted to give his opinion and was struck down by the tyranny of Board Game Geek. Let's bring in Michael Barnes. Michael Barnes is back. I like the blog. How's that going for you?
It's going really well. It's really a different opportunity to write as compared to Board Game Geek. There's a really great team of writers on there. I'm really impressed with the work everyone's doing. It's a lot of fun. We're just on there to have a good time and, you know, talk about games, make fun of some stuff, and basically just, you know, enjoy ourselves. So it's working out really well. The whole thing was put together by Matt Thrower, and I think he's really got a good team together.
Yeah, he does. I enjoy reading it every day. So
good.
I think a lot of people are really liking it too. I don't know if you still browse the Geek.
Of course I do.
You're lurking in the background like a shadow, right?
Like Jack the Ripper.
Listen, before we get into all the banning and everything, I got to tell you something funny. I was doing the research for this, and I was looking back through the old emails. I don't know if you remember this, but it was the very first time I talked to you. I had done a funny post on the Board Game Geek, and you sent me an email. You thought it was funny, and you were kind of lecturing me a little bit. It said, man, I don't know if you remember. You go, man, you got to keep it light, though. Keep it light.
Yeah.
And I was reading that, and I thought it was funny because you're telling me to keep it light, lecturing, and then you're the one that gets banned. But anyway,
well, I didn't take my own advice, so yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I posted anything necessarily "quote unquote" heavy.
No, I don't either. And let's get into this. I put together, I think, the 7 key points of your banning. and as we go through this, you know, because if somebody that's, you know, tries to do this on the, it's a big pain to go through Board Game Geek and dig up all this, the different threads and everything. So, but I've kind of summarized it here, and feel free to jump in at each point. Now,
absolutely.
point number one is where it started back. It's about a week before you got banned with my podcast, my interview with
really
Aldi.
Really need to do like a timeline of this, you know?
Yeah. Try to picture this. I want everybody to try to picture it in their heads. You know, the timeline. 1 week, roughly, before you get banned, I have Aldi on my show. Do you listen to that?
That's right. Sure, absolutely. That was a great show.
And if you recall, I mean, I want to try to state the facts here. We've had all this time to get the emotion out and everything. Aldi said on my show, he said he likes controversy. Mm-hmm. You remember him saying that, right?
Absolutely.
You remember I talked to him about your posts. He says your posts are edgy.
Right.
But he doesn't think you're a bad poster.
Right.
And that's what he said word for word. And
well, now, according to, you know, everybody on Board Game Geek, I had received numerous warnings from Aldi, which just wasn't the case, too. So
I thought that you had told me that in your email. You've received no previous warnings from Aldi.
The only contact Aldi ever had with me in of any type before any of this happened was when I did the Trashies Award. There was a couple of items on there that had struck a nerve with him for personal reasons, more or less, and I said, hey man, no problem, I'll take care of that. You know, it was something I didn't realize was going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And you know, like, I was reasonable about it, and I said, sure, no problem. And even in why I reposted it, I said, out of respect for what Aldi told me, I removed those items that were objectionable, and I thought everything was fine. Never heard anything else from him since, until the next thing I heard from him was, hey, you're banned. So.
Right. Yeah, and I think we saw some posts from him that were pointed at people in general saying, you
know,
tone it down.
That's right. He'd make general statements, hey guys, you know, tone it down.
Right.
Let's take it back to, you know.
But I don't think those were pointed at you specifically.
Well, I don't think so either. I think that people assumed they were because they took me to be some sort of scapegoat for everything that was going on, and you know, whatever. You know, fuck that.
Okay, so that's point one. Point one in the timeline. We have the Aldi interview. Now, right after the Aldi interview, remember, I post the thing on Board Game Geek, and as usual, everybody comments, including you.
Mm-hmm.
Then, the second important thing, event in the timeline is Thornquist, or Thornquits.
That's right.
As you like to call him, which I think is brilliant. Deletes his account.
That one.
Thornquits deletes his account.
Right.
After the Aldi interview. Now, this is what puzzled me. If you listen to all the interview, the very last thing when we were wrapping up the interview, he says, I explained that I was supposed to have Thornquist on the show, but he declines, and Aldi kind of laughs and said, oh, you guys are easy. You know, there's no punching. You know, Thornquist claimed we were a punching bag.
Right.
And Aldi goes, you know, you guys are no punching. Now, I'm confused. Was that, I wonder if Thornquist quit because of Aldi laughing at him, or because of your post calling Thornquist to task for not appearing?
Well, now, see, we don't know, and it's, you know, honestly, it's not really fair to bring him into it since he's not going to defend himself, and that's fine, you know, and I think it's important that we respect his right to not want to get involved in all this.
Right.
But by the same token, as you read on your show, his stated reason for not coming on the show was because of past guests. That was part of it, and not wanting to be a punching.
Now, let's not pull any punches here. He was saying because of you, he didn't want to come on the show.
Well, I mean, either me or Robert Martin.
Well, I don't think it was Robert.
Robert Martin's quite the lightning rod that I tend to seem to have turned to be. So, and you know, like everybody said, he was kind of on the way out anyway. He was sort of not writing so much about it. You know, whatever. He may have just said, you know what, I'm tired of this. Fine, whatever. But when he comes out and says, I'm not going to be on the show because of past guests, that changes the tone of his statement quite a bit. And, you know, I wonder, too, if there wasn't something going on where he didn't like that Aldi didn't come out and say, hey, I'm not going to be on your show, and I refuse to talk to you people because you're doing this and that, whatever, you know, and which basically probably would have made everything worse.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, who knows why he didn't come on the show, really? Who knows why he quit, really?
But what we
that's
do know...
irrelevant. I mean, well, yeah. Who cares? I mean, he's just one voice in amongst thousands.
Exactly.
As far as I'm concerned, a relatively minor voice. I mean, still a lot of people, you know, really like.
I agree.
Really get into that, and you know, people say they're into games because of him. I've seen people even argue that there wouldn't be a board gaming hobby today without Rick Thornquist, which I think is complete hyperbole.
No, but, let's be honest. That's bullshit.
Whatever. Who cares?
That's bullshit.
It's bullshit. That's pretty much it. So
okay, yeah. But that's the second important timeline, the Thornquist resignation.
That's right.
All right, we go to number three. This is the Dirk Show, where I interviewed Dirk.
Dirk was great. I thought that was a great interview.
Yeah, and so before we get into
it was
the
a lot of fun.
Yeah, I thought it was great too, but did you... I thought his comments about you were very interesting. Did you hear what he says? He was kind of a double-edged sword in you. On one hand, he agrees with what you said, but he doesn't like the way you say it.
Right. Well, and you know, I hear that a lot. I get a lot of, you know, I've gotten a lot of emails from folks on both sides of it. But on the opposition side, I have gotten a lot of people who give me these finger-wagging lectures about how if you had only been more nice in what you were saying, and so on and so forth, and it's like, well, then it wouldn't be the same thing.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I'm not going to temper it because I'm on Board Game Geek. You know, I mean, come on, that's ridiculous.
And did you, I don't know if you caught the, it was kind of quiet, and I don't know if you caught the comment that Dirk said, and he, when he was talking about you, he was saying, I think he was really upset too at the amount of posts you did. He was saying, basically, you needed to get a life because you posted too much.
Okay, well, what about all these people that post these statistical analysis?
That's exactly what was going through my head.
There's somebody on here that wants to have a board game wedding now. And I mean, seriously, you know, I hear that a lot, too. It's like, oh, Barnes posts so much. I don't post any more than any regular visitor to Board Game Geek that participates in the forums does. You might notice mine a little bit more because I drop the F-bomb or I make fun of something you like, but I don't post any more than anyone else's. I don't post at all now, so I guess the balance is addressed, so to speak.
Well, let's get back to point three, the Dirk interview. This is where you leave your comment, which, by the way, is posted in the Barnes Museum on my site. I'm going to try to do a dramatic reading of it. I hope I can capture it right later in the show. But basically, just to summarize, you say that tell Aldi he's full of crap, and it's just promoting this hysteria on the Board Game Geek, and you say that as long as there's going to be internet personalities, and I love the word you call them, tastemakers, they're going to be subject to criticism. And that's all you said. I don't see anything wrong with that. And let me tell you one thing. This show will continue. I don't give any. This show will continue to criticize Thornquist, Schlosser, and Vassal when we disagree with their reviews, and there's nothing they can do about it.
That's right, and I think it's complete nonsense to somehow say that we can't talk about, you know, these people's opinions and what we think about their opinions. No, the way you read all the comments afterwards, you would think I was getting on there and posting, Tom Vassell, he's really a son of a bitch. What a stupid motherfucker. But I never did that.
And you know what? I went back and looked through every one of your posts, and you have never said anything remotely close to that.
That's right. Absolutely not. And, you know, even with Aldi, when I called him full of crap, I thought he was, you know what? He wasn't full of crap. He was full of motherfucking bullshit. Because he was coming on there and kowtowing to this
Yeah, I agree with you. I like, you know, after talking with Aldi, he was a nice guy, but I think this is the absolute worst decision he's ever made.
Well, I think so, too. And, you know, not because it's me, all right? That's one thing I want to get straight across, because everybody thinks I'm some kind of egomaniac, which, you know, whatever. You know, how much of an egomaniac can you be on the internet? Seriously. So, you know.
Okay, so that was step three, your comment. Step four, after a few hours later, you were banned.
That's well, you know, I didn't even know I was banned.
That's interesting, yeah.
I went to go innocently look for an answer to a rules question I had about Hero Card Rise of the Shogun, and I was going to post a question, and all of a sudden I couldn't, and I thought, well, that's kind of weird. But, you know, the first thing I thought was, I bet I got banned. I didn't know what for, but I actually had to go and, like, look through stuff to figure out where I had been banned. No admin had emailed me. Aldi didn't email me. It was just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought about it, and I thought, I bet it was because I told him he was full of crap, or, as I just said, motherfucking bullshit. So I went and looked at it, and sure enough, there it was. Michael Barnes has been banned from posting, buried on, like, page 11.
Yeah.
That ridiculous.
And, you know, it's funny. It's some of my recent postings on there, this people accusing me, you're trying to get banned, huh? And I got such a kick out of one guy saying, well, if you get banned, you're not going to get 600 comments like Michael did. Oh, it's just hilarious.
Well, you know, it is a popularity contest, right?
It is. But I bow down to you, sir.
It's all about who can take the one girl on Board Game Geek.
All right, so we have step four, you're banned. Step five, in the timeline, Aldi explains, he comes out with the thread and explains that the reason you were banned, he quotes that post that we just read as the reason, not because you were full of crap, which I tend to agree with you. I think he got mad at that. And
well, you know,
the thing about it is
that, you know, it'd be one thing if I just got on there and said you're full of crap, but I didn't. I gave him a reason, and
yeah,
I gave him
yeah.
a logical explanation of why I thought so, and I also ended my post trying to bring it back around by agreeing with him that we needed to move away from talking
exactly.
about and bring it back to games.
Exactly, and that's an important...
I agreed completely with his post, and, you know,
exactly.
I was saying, hey, let's... I'd much rather be on here arguing about, you know, fucking Puerto Rico or something. I mean, who cares about people? It's not about people.
Exactly. And speaking of people, that brings up step six in the timeline. All right, so we were at step six, and this is the funniest step of all. Right after Aldi explains the reason you're banned, Tom Vassell comes on and posts asking for donations for Board Game Geek. What do you make of that? I don't get that.
I told myself before this interview started that I wasn't going to talk about anything related to him that didn't have to do with games, and I will stand by that.
Okay, all right.
Because it should be ultimately about games. Unfortunately, pure personalities have interjected themselves into affairs. All I have to say is, I think for him to come on there, though, and post that, oh, I was considering not sticking around here longer, but, you know, and here's the sublimated part. Now that nasty Michael Barnes is gone, let's all donate. It's like, what the fuck is up with that?
you want to know the truth? You couldn't drag Tom Vassell off Board Game Geek.
Yeah, well,
he loves that play.
That's true, too. But, I mean, come on. Who does he think he's fooling? It's like, oh, it's just, I was just thinking, maybe we should all show Aldi our support by donating money. It's like, come on. I'm not stupid. And I don't think most people are stupid. And you know what? I'm glad Aldi got the money out of it. I'm glad he gets to pay the bills. You know, whatever. That's fine. He's, you know, as far as
right.
the database goes, that service needs to be there. But, you know, I don't know. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was a very telling step, I think, in the timeline. And the final event in the timeline of your banning was Aldi comes out and claims he's an Ameritrasher, sporting the AT badge and everything.
Well, you know, let me go ahead and let me, yeah, supporting, yeah, okay, whatever. That's fine. You know, he is. He loves those games, and that's great. You know, we all do. That's why we're listening to this podcast. That's why I'm talking to you. That's why we're reading Fortress of Ameritrash, whatever. That's great. I'm glad he loves those games, because it is ultimately about games. But here's something most people don't know. I sent Aldi a three-page letter that was very nice and very cordial about the banning, and I was just saying, hey, you know what? It's no big thing. I just want you to know it's nothing personal between you and I. You know, I understand that, you know, you may have business reasons, you may have personal reasons, whatever, it's no big deal. Because it's ultimately not very important for me to go on BoardGameGeek and piss off a bunch of nerds. So, I never got a response. I guess he was spending all that time writing that geek list. And eventually he did send me a response, and, you know, I'm glad he responded, you know, tip the hat since he at least took the time to email and say, hey, I'm sorry that things turned out bad, whatever. But it was kind of written like a letter is if you broke up with your computer.
Was it? I guess it was very emotional. We don't want to get into that letter. I mean,
there's no reason to. I thought that was funny, and you know, it probably wouldn't be surprising to people that know Aldi. So
no, I just meaning it's probably too personal, like a lover's spat between you and Aldi. We don't want to get into that.
It's funny because he and I actually have some mutual friends, and they've actually all said, you know, you guys would probably just really hit it off well together. And I agree. And I told Aldi that in my letter. I said, hey, you know, if we're ever in the same room together, don't be scared. The worst I'm going to do to you is offer to play Netrunner with you. I mean, come on.
All right. So we reviewed at least what I think are the seven important steps of your banning. Now let's talk about. Personally, I do not believe the reason Aldi gave. I think there's more to it. I don't know what there is, but here's some theories I have. I want to shoot them past you. I want you to shoot them down if you think it's BS.
Sure.
And then offer some of your own. My first theory of why you were banned. I don't know if you heard during the Dirk interview, Dirk was talking about that secret emailing group, the Diggers.
Yeah, I heard about that. I don't know that that's necessarily any.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Well, my first theory is I think those guys had a meeting, a strategy meeting, and decided to ban you.
Chamber.
And they decided to ban you because by banning you, it would completely disrupt the Ameritrash movement, They were pretty successful, but they don't know what's coming yet.
Right.
What do you think about that?
That's definitely a theory. I mean, you know, some people would argue that there is no movement, but some people would also argue that it's a joke, and sometimes I do both. So, you got to keep them guessing, man. Come on. There is no Ameritrash war, right?
No, not at all.
No, okay. I don't know. The whole secret coterie thing, you know, people... You know, the thing is that strikes me as really funny is that's something we were joking about. That's something we were kind of, like, making fun of.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Gathering our friends, and they, like, gather in these secret clutches, and they come up with these plans.
And it turns out they actually had a secret.
That's true. You know what? I can't help but think that there is some sort of conspiracy theory involved with this. Because it has to be more than what it appears, right?
Do you think they're wearing cloaks with hoods and candles and all that?
I hope so, because if they're not, they really owe it to themselves to get that far.
All right, so that's my first theory. I take it you don't agree with that.
Well, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say, but I mean, I think a lot of the foundations of the quote-unquote BoardGameGeek Good Old Boy Network were probably, you know, somewhere in there. And, you know, and that is part of it, is that it started out as sort of a real small community. And there were, you know, a lot of people. It was a very intimate thing. People knew each other. You go to events and see the same people. Hey, how you doing? Let's play a game, whatever. And then you get to know people. And then when BoardGameGeek first started up, a lot of those people were, you know, they were the initial folks that were really involved in doing it and posting it and making content, so on and so forth. And you know, undoubtedly, there is an old guard, new guard schism that's going to happen once it grows and hits a certain point. And I think what we've really seen lately is that BoardGameGeek has hit that point.
Right.
Not just BoardGameGeek, the community as a whole. BoardGameGeek is just a very small part of the board gaming community, right?
Yeah. I saw a comment talking about the community. It was a brilliant comment, and I agree with it. I don't know if you made it, or I forget where I read it, but the comment was that BoardGameGeek was a brilliant, great game database, but it was a failure as a community.
Actually, Robert Martin said that.
Oh, okay. I want to credit him.
I absolutely agree with that. I think as a database, as a reservoir of facts, knowledge, and information about board games, it's unsurpassed and will never be matched. There's just been too much into it, and it's a very significant development in the hobby. And there's no reason at all for anyone to even attempt to shoot that down. If you do, you're just stupid.
Yeah.
The thing is,
you have to acknowledge it.
User generated content, and there's issues that come with that. As a community, I don't think it works. I think it's a community built around cliquishness. I think there is definitely an air of elitism there. You can say all you want that it's not there, but I mean, we see it time and time again. When I post, hey, I don't agree with you, and I get treated like Charles Manson, but then somebody else calls me a fucking asshole or a dickhead, and they're an admin, then, you know, there's a double standard there,
yeah.
Doubt. And it sounds stupid in retrospect to be talking about this kind of stuff with anything to do with board gaming, because we're doing it for fun. We're doing it because we enjoy it, not for these stupid fucking politics.
Yeah, it is. It is funny.
It's like the political stuff to me that I got involved in and talked about and said things about, I did it because I thought it was fucking hilarious.
It is funny, yeah.
I mean, come on, you got people that take this shit so seriously.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I understand really getting into a hobby and really, you know, enjoying it and, you know, getting the most out of it. That's what I try to do every day I'm involved in it. But it gets to a point when you're taking it just so seriously, like you've got a stick shoved up your ass about everything.
Anyway, let's get back to my second theory.
Theory.
My second theory is that the Euro retailers wanted you off the site.
Well, that's a hard call, because, I mean, you know, a lot of the retailers I know, just from working in retail myself, they don't even pay attention to Board Game Geek.
Yeah.
A lot of them don't even know it exists. I mean, I have talked to many game store owners that are just like, Board Game Geek, what are you talking about? So, you know, I don't know. That's real iffy. If anything, it would be people that advertise on there. But there again, I don't know if even they would scrutinize it that much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. That one I'm not sure about.
Okay. And my third and final theory, which is a little off the wall, but keeping in line with my podcast, it has to be. Just follow me on this. I think Aldi was craving attention and power. Follow me. His podcast is extinct. Mine is growing. He saw you getting all the attention, all this post. He posts things like, you know, the new, you know, revamp of the new email system. And
well, that was that cool thing he did where you could, like, see what cameras the pictures were taken with, too, right?
Right. So I think he's kind of, you know, this is my site. I'm feeling left out. These guys are stealing this spotlight. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I mean, he's such a, I mean, like he told me in his email, you know, he said I'm very passive aggressive, and, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily the case.
Okay.
He's too much of a shrinking violet for that, I think.
Okay. Fair enough.
No, I don't really know him, and it's, you know, I can't really say one way or the other. You know, I know him from as an internet head. I know he's the Bjork head, and he owns Board Game Geek, and that's really about it.
All right. So,
you know, I don't know about that.
All right. So what is your theory? What happened?
I think that the right people complained is what it amounts to. And I think I won't name any names, but
name one name, just one name.
We obviously are. I think the right people just said enough, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if some people said, oh, we're going to cancel our accounts and we'll never post here again unless you do something about this. And, you know, Aldi's the kind of person that I get a sense, again, I don't really know him, I get a sense that he's very impressionable. And, you know, I do really understand from his perspective that he's running a business, he's trying to build up this place where people come and feel welcome and, you know, this and that. But, you know, I don't know. I think in a lot of ways he might have been listening to the wrong people, because there's just as many, if not more, people that are saying, we want a little more friction. We want a little more excitement and a little more humor and a little more, you know, something that more suits the way we play games.
Right, and that's exactly leading into what I want to
play, you know, Euro game abstracts, quietly shoving pieces around. We yell and have a good time and,
right,
and maybe have a beer while we're playing. So, you know, right. I don't know. I think maybe that's probably what it amounts to.
I think you're probably right.
Is you listen to the wrong people.
Right. I think you're probably right. I think Thornquist was in there with it, and that added to it. He quit. They delete. You could tell listening to Dirk, he was very upset that Thornquist quit.
Right. He was. Well, even though, like I said, tastemakers, whatever, I don't put any stock in anything they say. I think it's silly that there's such a thing as celebrities in a board gaming.
It is, yeah.
But, you know, when somebody like that is so high profile all of a sudden deletes his entire account, I mean, that's, I can see from their side thinking, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Because other people are going to see this, and then other people are going to leave, and, you know, the next thing you know, there's 8 members on BoardGameGeek, and the bills aren't getting paid.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, it does come back to, I think, it being a business. I mean, all this talk about how it's Aldi's house and all that, I think that's just really kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, let's talk
really
about...
Completely undercuts the contributions everyone has
made. Yes, I agree. And... Now, after the banning, did you read through some of the comments that people had? It was amazing, amazing stuff to read through.
I know. I think it was absolutely shameful for the board game community in general. Because here I was getting banned for making personal attacks or whatever that, as far as I know, I never actually did. But, you know, going on there and reading some of the stuff that I was posting because I was retarded, I was drunk, I was under the influence of Satan, you know, whatever... It's like, it didn't hurt me. I thought a lot of it was actually pretty hilarious because I just don't take it seriously at all to begin with. But, you know, reading all that, it's just kind of, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, you know, what Aldi really needs on this site is consistency. And
yeah.
If he's going to have these positions about things, then it has to be consistent or else eventually people are going to leave.
Yeah, so, did you see the one comment? I don't know who the guy was. I don't remember his name, but... talking about taking it seriously, to show you how many fans you got out there. One guy said he actually cried. Did you see that?
Stupid man! Come on.
He actually cried when you got banned.
If you're listening, crying guy, thank you for your tears, but please save them for the end of ET or something else.
No, it could be a young guy that was just a fan of yours, you know. But I don't
want
to hit him too hard.
I don't want fans.
Huh?
Fans go away.
But it was, and did you see the guys that were trying to pile on me now that you were down? They were attacking me, trying to take me out.
Next.
Right.
You're next, the black helicopter, the compound.
Yeah, but when they ban me, I'll only have 3 comments compared to your 600.
I don't know. Everybody's got to say their piece on that site, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's enough about the banning. I just wanted to talk about it since Mr. Skeletor said that I lost my testicles.
Well, I agreed. I want to go ahead and be on record that I was glad you didn't bring it up because, you know, you did the little tribute and whatever. That was fine.
I thought the tribute was brilliant. It said it all.
You really, what I think that show did was really just kind of focus it back to games and say, hey, guys,
yeah.
You know what? It doesn't really mean anything anyway, so
yeah.
Let's just talk about games. And
yeah.
I think that was fine. Anybody that thinks that you somehow lost your edge or lost your nerve on that, whatever, you know, just who cares?
But, you know, you look on Board Game Geek like today, it's like tumbleweeds going through, right?
Oh, no, there's a great argument right now that I'm not going to bring up any names, but someone actually had a problem with some of the pictures of the war.
Yeah, you told me that, yeah.
Yeah, it was just confounding. I was kind of shocked, actually, that someone would even argue about that, and that there was like 80 posts about that.
Uh-huh.
I'm sitting there thinking, I sure am glad I got my escape from Coldest before they start rounding them up and burning them in a fire.
Right. I tell you what, after the first interview I had with you, I got some great email. One game designer told me that he thought the interview I had with you on the first time we talked was like a seminal moment in gaming.
Whoa.
He thought it was like a momentous moment, you know.
Jeez,
a very inspiring interview.
And monocle for that. Jeez.
I alluded to this before. I think you're a very good communicator, and people get caught up in your enthusiasm for games, and And that's what, that's, you know, good or bad, you know, whether they agree with you or not, they get caught up in that. And I think that's what it is. I think that's great. You know, and your response.
And I'm glad for that. And,
yeah.
And I hope that people do. I mean, I want people. I'm very passionate about everything I'm interested in.
Right.
Whether it's music or movies or playing games, whatever. I'm very passionate about what I'm interested in. And it sometimes that passion goes the other way. I mean, sometimes it goes into, you know, I hate this. This is why. I'm not one to come out and just say, hey, I don't like this. This is crap, and not give you a reason for it. I think that's important, to have an enthusiasm to make the hobby as a whole better by saying, hey, these things are not so good. Let's make this better. A lot of people want to say that I'm destructive. A lot of people want to say that, you know, I saw someone posted that I hated Board Game Geek. I never hated Board Game Geek. I hated some of the kind of comments and some of the behavior on there, but I never hated Board Game Geek. I loved it because there were people on there talking about games, sharing a love for gaming. What's wrong with that? Nothing.
Right, exactly. Well, let's talk about games now. Get away from this silly banning issue.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I'm here in Texas. I need some advice from you. Can you tell me the best Western game I can get?
Gunslinger.
Gunslinger.
Hands down, Gunslinger, yeah.
Hands down on that?
Hands down. Avalon Hill, 1982, Richard Hamblin, designer. I'll tell you right now, it's a little bit clunky. And a
I don't
lot of
mind
people
that,
out there man. Are nodding their heads and saying, yeah, that's an understatement. Because it is. It's very old-fashioned. But it has a system that really details a gun battle like nothing else, in just really finite detail. It's like watching a Sam Peckinpah film. You can, when you're done with the game, you remember everything you did. I fell down, I threw a knife, hit this guy in the belly, he fell down, moved three steps back, tumbled over, shot a guy, threw my gun at him. It's extraordinarily detailed like that. Turn, I think, is like 5 seconds. So it really breaks it down. So it's almost like a slow motion, you know, they call it a bullet ballet. It's really, really an amazing design. The last time we played it, Robert Martin has already made hoo-ha about all this, about how I screwed up a rule, but it is one of the Avalon Hill games that requires you to actually sit down and read through the rule book, and it is a little bit complex at first. So it's something that, you know, you may not immediately appreciate, but I think if you really take the time to learn the system and see how it works, it's really an amazing game design. I think Richard Hamblin is one of, if not the most underrated designer in all of gaming. It's really a neat game. Definitely check that out.
Okay.
Other than that, the Western genre, I think, is pretty grim.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of good Western games out there.
What do you think of White Earp?
White Earp's okay. I mean, it's a good rummy game. I enjoy it. Out of those mystery rummy games, I think that's the best one. And I like the Western flavor it has. It doesn't have a Western theme because it has no theme. But I do like the flavor with the cards and, you know, the outlaws and all that. It's a fun game.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to try to find that Gunslinger. Where can I find that? Just eBay? Check on eBay?
Yeah, it'll probably never be reissued. There, you know, there is a game coming out from Worthington Games, Way of the Gun, that looks pretty promising. It looks sort of like a streamlined, modernized Gunslinger in a way. It's a, you know, man-to-man gun battle sort of thing, sort of pseudo miniatures almost. It looks pretty good. The rules look good. The session reports have been great, so I'm looking forward to that.
When's that due out, do you know?
Next great Western game.
When's that due out, do you know?
You know, I don't know. I think they said that it's in production now. It was one of those that they had a pre-order, you know, P500 sort of deal on. So I think it's coming out pretty soon, probably in the next couple of months. And check out their website for that.
Okay, that's Worthington Games?
Worthington Games, yeah. They also do a great game called Victoria Cross, if you like the board game.
Yeah, that's based on the Zulu?
Yeah, Battle of Rorke's Drift. Yeah, really, really neat game. I'm a big fan of the block war games too, and that's one of the more interesting ones because it's completely asymmetrical. I mean, per the situation, 5,000 Zulus, and I think it was like 112 English guys huddled in a fortress. Basically, it's a neat game. It has a lot of flavor. Set things on fire and steal, you know, knock over the water jug and kill people in the hospital and all this. It's a neat game, and it's one of those where you'll roll. I think one attacker rolled something like 56 six-sided dice in the box. And got like three hits, so, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
That means the game's clearly broken, right?
Yeah. I did pick up, just the other day, I picked up, I don't know if you heard my interview with Chris Farrell.
Yeah, yes, I did.
He recommended Napoleon. Have you played Napoleon, the block game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a fantastic game. That's the only one that I've played that really has, like, the strategic, large-scale troop movement combined with the more tactical, small-scale line battle. That's a really neat game. A lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm excited to try that. I just got that. And my brother's coming out. He's got a question for you. He's coming out to Houston the end of this month, and we're going to have a big gaming session. We always do. He's a big Marvel Heroes fan, and he got the Fantasy Flight Marvel Heroes. But
right.
Have you heard of the Marvel Heroes HeroScape coming out? What's your thoughts on that?
I think that'll be a lot of fun. I enjoy HeroScape. I'm not a huge fan of it. Of buying all the expansion and everything. I rated it a 10 on BoardGameGeek, and I think it is one of the important games because it's something that, as I said in my review, is something that kids are going to play now, and it's going to make them gamers. A 10-year-old kid's going to play that in his basement with his friends, and you know, yeah. 10 years from now, he's going to be playing, you know, the more complex games. Without a doubt, it just has that X factor. As far as the Marvel HeroScape goes, I think it has potential to be even bigger. You've got a great license. You've got great characters. The system, you know, it could really be used for anything. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. I can see playing it and having a little city set up and Spider-Man fighting Rhino and all that. That sounds great.
What did you... did you have some criticism on the Marvel Heroes for Fantasy Flight?
It's a good game. It's not great. And I think that's my main criticism of it, is that it's just not great. Those guys are such good designers. War of the Ring is one of the watermark games of our hobby, as far as I'm concerned. It's okay. It's just not... I don't think it really captures what I wanted out of a Marvel Heroes game. I wanted something a little bit more, I guess, innovative from that design team. It seems like every superhero game I've ever played follows along the same basic models that the old Games Workshop game, the Judge Dredd game, follows. There's a crime, you go out, people play cards to mess with you, you roll a die, you either solve the crime or arrest the criminal or whatever, and then you get points for that. It seems like every superhero game follows that same basic pattern. And Marvel Heroes does the exact same thing. Granted, Marvel Heroes has some nice things in it. I do really enjoy how the villains work. I think that's a lot of fun, that you can dump your villains out on other players, and you can do your master plan, and you know, it's a good game. It just could have been better. I think right. It looks amazing. The graphics are top notch. I mean, what do you expect from Marvel Fantasy Flight? I mean,
exactly.
It's a good game. The rule book was kind of a disaster. I think that might be one of the reasons a lot of people have not enjoyed it as much as they could.
Let's kind of switch gears here. What do you think the best new Euro game is out there now?
Well, I'm sitting here in my living room, and there's a copy of Pillars of the Earth at my feet, so I'm hoping it's going to be that one. It looks okay. You know, people call it Caliph Light, which means bad. That means light shit to me. but it might be interesting. If it plays in 45 minutes to an hour, you know, has some interaction, you know, has a couple of good decision points, then it might be good. It looks dynamite. The game looks fantastic. I don't know why they would base a game on a pretty marginal novel like that, but so what? Who cares?
Right.
I did really enjoy Fire and Ice. Fire and Axe.
I got my copy of that in too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun game. It's definitely got all the Euro stuff in it. It's got your optimization. It's got your route planning. It's got, you know, a lot of the things you expect from a Euro, but it also has some really nasty action cards. It's got some dice rolling in it. It plays at a really... I love the pace of the game. It's really quick. It turns, as long as you don't have some guy that's going to sit and micromanage the entire game, it plays really fast. It's got some neat drama. It's got some... It's got great flavor in the game. It just looks awesome. I mean, it looks like a Days of Wonder production. Asmodee has really stepped up to be the third in that tier of publishers that with Days of Wonder and Fantasy Flight that are really doing some top-notch graphics.
I agree with you. Fantastic job on that game.
I never played the original, but looking at it, it was printed on a tea towel.
Yeah, I saw it.
It had little cardboard counters, and it's like, you know, it may still be a good game, but having this big map of Northern Europe out there and, you know, the little Viking longboats that load your cars and all that, it's a fun game. It's definitely a Euro. It plays very similar to Serenissima. with all the fat trimmed out of that. It's also, there's a terrible game, the Michael Schott game, Hanzo, which was just absolutely dreadful, that if you didn't like Hanzo, it's a little more interesting, then I think Firing Axe would be a good choice for you.
Yeah, and I think you and Greg Schlosser are both in agreement on that.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time.
All right, look, I want to go to a totally different category of games now. We're going to have fun here. Have you ever played Why Did the Chicken?
Why Did the Chicken? No, but it sounds like something published by Zoc.
This is a party game, and I'm glad you haven't played it because I haven't either, and I've got it right here. People are going to think I'm nuts for taking you on in this.
Oh, they already do.
But we're going to play it.
At this point, Steve, we might as well just go fucking balls out.
We're going to do that now. We're going to have a lot. On this season of my show, I'm going to have a lot more audience participation.
Oh, that's right. This is the season premiere, right?
Season premiere. You're on it. And
do I die in the last episode?
No. But let's talk about this. Let's talk about this game. Why Did the Chicken? It's a party game where you and I are going to play it, and the people on Board Game Geek, they're going to be the judge whether you win or I win. Now, I swear to you, and I'm nuts for taking you on because you're the master at this type of stuff. But I'm going to give it my best shot. Now, the way it works is, and I swear to you, I am playing this. I haven't set this up. I haven't looked at the question or anything. I'm going to pull out a question and then two noun cards. And all you got to do is, you know, why did the so-and-so cross the road or whatever? And you come up with the funniest answer you can in 2 minutes. I'll do the same. And then the audience is going to vote whether Michael wins or I win. All right, you got it?
What's the prize?
We'll think of that in a minute. All right.
We're making this shit up as we go along.
All right. I'm going to give you the question. I'm pulling this out of total random here. I hope I get a good one. This is a question. What do you get when you cross blank with blank? Now, what I do now is pull out two random noun cards. And I'm going to pull them out now. Okay. And then I can put them in any order I want. So here it is. Here's the question, Michael. What do you get when you cross a millionaire with a doctor? All right. What do you get when you cross a millionaire with a doctor? I'm going to play a song here and for 2 minutes. And then when we come back, we're going to read our answers. And they're going to vote.
Okay.
Who's funnier, you or me?
Okay.
The shot up and put it down. Pass that tequila bottle around. It's a good night to be in old Mexico. I was real uptight when I first came in, but now I don't want this night to end. A mamacita is waiting for me behind that door. She's gonna work the knots out. She's gonna rub the stress out, yeah. Make me feel like a human tortilla. She's gonna pound the knots out. She's gonna roll the stress out, yeah. Make me feel like a human tortilla. She said, ooh, little baby, won't you lay right down? I'm gonna do my best to remove that frown. In Guadalupe, I'm known as a lady with a magic touch. She was rubbing me down with cactus grease, and it started to put my mind at ease. But I still kept a firm hand on my gun. She's gonna work the knots out. She's gonna rub the stress out, yeah. Make me feel like a human tortilla. She's gonna pound the knots out. She's gonna roll the stress out, yeah. Make me feel like a human tortilla. A bandito thrust in while I was belly down. A mamacita jumped up and spun around. I said, take that gringo. Flying bullets.
dance too. I was shooting the six gun in the nude. I put on a sombrero and yelled, I love this town. She's gonna work the nights out. She's gonna rub the stress out. Yeah, make me feel like a human tortilla. She's gonna pound the nights out. She's gonna roll the stress out. Take you out of this old bar. Come back to Texas and be my little wife. Her eyes lit up like a Christmas tree. She said, will the senor marry me? I said, maybe, baby, just for the night. She's gonna work the nights out. She's gonna rub the stress out, yeah. Make me feel like a human tortilla. She's gonna pound the knots out. She's gonna roll the stress out, yeah. And make me feel like a human tortilla.
All right, we're back here. Michael and I are playing Whitey the Chicken. It's a great new party game here. Normally, how this is played, the question, you take turns being the judge, and whoever gets, and the winner gets these noun cards, and whoever has the most cards wins the game. So the question is, what do you get when you cross a millionaire with a doctor? Michael.
Rainer Kinesia.
All right. What do you get when you cross a millionaire with a doctor? I said, C. Everett Koop on steroids. All right, so
I'm a little confused by that one. But just for the record, I don't. I hope that wasn't construed as a personal attack on Rainer Kinesia. I don't know if Rainer Kinesia is a millionaire. He might be a thousandaire. He might be a billionaire. I don't know. So I want to go ahead and put that out there.
All right, so folks, you heard that. You heard my answer. You heard Michael's. Vote for when I advertise the podcast and you post your comments criticizing the personal attacks, saying what, I mean, just vote. Who? Just say your vote is for Michael or vote is for Steve, and we'll tally them up and we'll decide on the prize on the next show. Whoever wins, but...
How about this? How about this for a prize? I will personally come on the show and hurt your feelings.
Okay.
If you...
I tried to get Aldi to come on in the same show with you and talk about this banning issue, but no response.
Yeah, he probably just wants to write it off.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is fine, you know, but, you know, we can joke about it.
We can joke about that, yeah. So that's why did the chicken. I'm interested to try that in a party situation, see how that turns out, but it's got some good reviews on that. We're also, let me tell you, Michael, before I let you go, we're going to have a contest here on the show.
Sweet.
And I hope you'll participate.
Absolutely.
It's going to drive Board Game Geek crazy, but this is the idea.
The wind blows and Board Game Geek goes crazy.
All right. Now, I already have the prize in mind for this contest, and I'll get to that in a minute. But here's the contest. When I hang up, when I stop the interview, I'm going to give you my password on Board Game Geek to my account. Now,
you're going to get in trouble.
All right. Now, listen, this is the way it's going to work. They're not going to know whether it's you or me. I'm going to... Either you or I are going to post an article that says contest number one. We're going to post three articles. They're either going to be written by you or me, but it's going to be under my profile. And the idea is that it'll be anything you want to write about. And it's either going to be me writing it's going to be you writing, or it's going to be me trying to impersonate you, or you trying to impersonate me. Nobody will know who it is. And
intriguing.
They're going to be freaking out. And I know you're going to be good at this, because I know you can probably do a good redneck of me.
Hey, hold on, Steve. I am the original violent redneck. I don't remember who it was that called me that, but it was, you know, I think it was 45 geek lists ago, someone called me a violent redneck, and you can't take that away from
all right.
me.
But anyway, we're going to... The name of the... It's going to be in the forum on Board Game Geek, and the articles are going to be entitled Contest Number 1, Contest Number 2, and Contest Number 3. And those articles can be about a game, a review, anything you want. And, in fact, I may do them all myself, trying to fool people that you're doing a couple of them. Or you may do them all, or it may be a mixture. Nobody's going to know. Only you and I will know. And the first person to guess correctly... The author of all three, I'm going to send, and I'm going to pay for the shipping too, totally free. I'm going to send them my copy of St. Petersburg.
With or without the dog shit in the box?
No. It's in mint condition. I've only played it a few times. That was enough for me. But
Steve, if you only played it a few times, how can you possibly fully understand the depth and breadth of choices? I mean, seriously, I think you really need to revisit that game. I mean, if you look at a statistical analysis of the aristocrat cards and see that the lumbermaker can, you know what I'm saying, right?
right.
Be made. And it's really a rich, deep, elegant experience that really, really is the best of Euro games.
Well, I know it's going to be an emotional moment when I part with that game, but that's the prize. Are you willing to participate, Michael, in this?
Sure.
Okay. By the way, if you get me banned,
Dan is gonna step in on this one.
If you get me banned before the contest ends, that voids the contest. Try not to get me banned.
I'm gonna get you banned. I'm not out to get anybody banned.
We're just doing this for fun. So,
because you know, Steve, being banned from Board Game Geek is like being dead. So, might as well be dead.
Are you being sarcastic, Michael?
No, would that I were, Steve. Would that I were.
Okay, so we understand the contest. The contest will start after this podcast this podcast will be posted next Monday. So what date is that? Do you have a calendar?
I don't have a calendar with me. Today's like the what, third?
The third. Today's the third, so next Monday is whatever. So, I don't have a calendar with me, so.
The ninth, come on.
The ninth.
If you played St. Petersburg, you'd be able to add that up.
No.
It's educational.
It is educational. Now you're making me, maybe I should have another prize. Maybe I should give away something else.
Like something good?
All right, so your game for this. You can write it. I'm going to try to, maybe I'll impersonate you, maybe I'll be myself. Nobody knows. The first person to post the correct answer for all three, this will be on the third article, will win the copy of St. Petersburg, and I'll pay for the shipping, so you get it totally free. And I think that's a great prize, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see if anybody can guess it. Now, I will have to exclude the admins on there, because they may be able to tell by the IP addresses.
They would.
Whether they're coming from Atlanta or Houston.
Well, and I think the admins also need to be told up front that this is something for fun. We're not doing it to hurt anybody.
Right.
We're not doing it to make anybody upset. We're not doing it to make anyone, you know, freak out or cause the world to end. It's just for fun. It's a good time. And, you know, people that have kept up with events, you know, it's a lighthearted way to poke fun at you and I both. So.
Exactly. Do you want to, should we make some rules to exclude personal attacks? or anything goes? What do you think?
You know, we're on their court, so maybe we should exclude personal attacks.
All right.
only against people who don't have an avatar.
Right. You know, my goal is to take out another cartoon head this season.
Line them up.
Line them up. One down, two to go.
Those cartoon heads, I tell you, that is really something scary. I don't know. There's just something about the way they look at you. It's like their eyes follow you or something.
Did you see the guy that had the cartoon head based on your avatar? I thought that was funny.
That was freaky. I just find it alarming that people think that's me. It's not. It's Marky Smith from The Fall, the band The Fall. You know,
yeah,
everybody?
Yeah.
Hands up. You right there, three people. Okay. Whatever.
Before I let you go, what do you do for a living, by the way? I don't even know that.
I'm sort of a librarian. I do web work for a local college website.
So you're a computer guy.
The retail stuff. Well, no, sort of. I've sort of defaulted into that. I'm really, trying to get into career writing, do some, professional writing. So.
You know, I was thinking about you. You said you made some films in the past, right?
Yeah, I have.
Have you seen
my wife does. My wife is actually, she's in Orlando right now doing something for a big, major, gigantic cable network.
That's fantastic. I was thinking about you. Have you seen the new reality show On the Lot, the Steven Spielberg thing?
No, I don't. The only TV show I ever watched is Battlestar Galactica and the History Channel. So.
Well, this is where they're taking young filmmakers and give them a chance to compete.
Oh, where was that shit when I was up and coming, you know?
Exactly.
I do love making movies, and it's something I don't really get to do too much because it's not something I really want to make money doing. It's not something I really want to do as a career. But it's one of the best times you can have is getting together with people and really, coming together to create something, and really kind of having a unified vision for something and making it really just come to life.
You want to talk about the convention, maybe?
Well, the convention is something we're going to look at doing. We've kind of talked about it a little bit here and there. Right now, I'm sort of in the middle of moving into a new house, so I haven't really had the time I really want to invest in it. But we've got some people interested in putting up a little bit of money, maybe, and getting some things organized. We've already got some great ideas for events and some various things that could go on. It's not going to be just your standard sit in a hotel room and play board games thing. It's going to be something that's going to be a lot of fun. And it's going to be something that everybody can have fun at, not just Euro gamers, not just Ameritrashers, not just board gamers in general. We want to see people in there with miniatures, people playing card games, and just really make it a gaming community event. Because really, that's what we need to survive, really build a larger community outside of board gaming.
Right.
Really welcome the other types of games versus just, eschewing them for whatever, selfish reasons we have.
Right. Okay, maybe we'll have you back if that gets firmed up.
Sure, absolutely.
And we can
hopefully, in the next couple of months, we'll have a date, we'll have a time, we'll have a place, and we'll start talking about what you'll have to do to get in. We're gonna make it like the Gathering of Friends, so it's gonna be like this like secret cabal of people that either approve or deny you, and you have to have the password, and it'll all be like eyes wide shut. Except there probably won't be any girls there.
I mean, Kent, in the Gathering of Friends right about now?
It's happening as we speak. Right now, they are probably worshiping a giant stone idol.
Picture this. Can you see Aldi and Dirk, around just real serious faces? Yeah, we had to ban Michael. I hated to do it. We just had to do it. Shaking their heads, yep, it was. I can see y'all, dude. That's a tough, real serious. And
I hope they're having a great time, and there'll be tons of geek lists. What I played, the Gathering of Friends that you don't get to see, and the games that I played that you didn't get to because you weren't invited. So, whatever, it's their thing. I have friends there that are, trying to get their ears out and see if anybody says anything bad about me so we can send the commandos.
Okay.
If need be.
Right. Okay. All right, Michael. Thank you very much. Great talking with you again.
It's always great to talk with you, Steve. Always have a great time.
You too. Good luck with your house. I hope you enjoy your new place.
I appreciate it. It's quite an endeavor. So.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not anything like these Euro games promised it would be.
You're not. It's not like a cathedral or anything.
I put wood, grain, sheep, a brick, and clay out in the yard, and nothing happened.
and you're rolling these huge dice out there. All right, thanks a lot.
All right, Steve.
Talk to you later. All right, bye.
Bye.
Hi, my name is Cecil Gibbs. This is my review of the game El Grande. I was looking for a kick-ass combat game, so I picked out El Grande for one reason. I picked it out because of the name El Grande. See, we have a pizza place here in Hickory Holler where I live, and they have an extra large pizza, and they call it the El Grande. So I figured what better game to get while eating an El Grande would be to get El Grande and play it at the same time while I'm eating an El Grande. Now, I opened up this bad boy, and I was mighty pleased to find they are looking out for the folks. They included a tobacco spitting cup right there in the game. It's shaped like a tower. Now, I thought to myself, finally, these cube-pushing son bitches get it right. But then I saw they forgot to put a bottom on the thing, and they made the whole damn thing worthless. Well, so I set up the game and spent another half hour digging through the box, looking for the dice. How in the hell are we going to have a kick-ass combat game set over there in Spain with no dice? But then I saw that each fella gets a spinner, so I passed out a spinner to Leroy and one to Maul, and we set our men out in these different areas on the board. But when we tried to use our spinners to move our men, they wouldn't spin good. I mean, they got the arrows on the damn spinners were so tight, we had to grease the son bitches up with some lard so they would spin around nice. Well, we started to play the game, and that little tart of a neighbor we have named Daisy Lou, she stuck her head in the window and asked what we were doing. I told Daisy we were trying to play a game. So she came in, and when she started rummaging there through the box and picked up the king piece, trying to tell us that we forgot this piece on the board. I swear she's dumber than a rock. I told her the king piece was a trophy that went to the winner of the game. Well, she asked since we wasn't using the king if she could borrow it for a while, and I said sure. I don't know why in the hell she wanted it for, but she left with a smile on her face, and Leroy went to spinning trying to invade my country. And then while I was opening the pizza box there, dad burn it, I got so mad that I knocked those cubes off the board and they scattered everywhere. Now, I was playing the color green and we did the best we could to get those cubes back on the right space on the board. But little we know that some of those cubes had landed on my pizza. Well, I took a bite out of a slice and broke my tooth on a green cube that I took for being a chopped green pepper. Next thing I know, I'm sitting in a dentist chair with a numb mouth and I'm out $40 on a war game here with no dice. Advice to you is I say you're better off buying risk. This is Cecil Gibbs, signing off. All right, thanks, folks. Remember to vote. Who won the game? Why did the chicken, me or Michael Barnes? And remember to participate in the contest. Adios.
What this world needs is a few more rednecks, so people ain't afraid to take a stand. What this world needs is a little more respect for the Lord and the law and the working man. We could use a little peace and satisfaction, some good people up front take the lead. A little less talk and a little more action, and a few more rednecks is what we need. I was raised on beans and cornbread, and I like my chicken fried. Yes, I drive a pickup truck, and I'm full of American pride. I keep a Bible on my table, I got a flag out on my lawn, and I don't believe in minding nobody's business but my own. Now, I love them Rambo movies. I think they make a lot of sense. And it's a shame old John Wayne didn't live to run for president. And I'm a catfish connoisseur. I love the Lynyrd Skynyrd band. And I'm crazy about the NFL. I'm a diehard NASCAR fan. What this world needs is a few more rednecks, so people ain't afraid to take a stand. What this world needs is a little more respect
for the Lord and the law and the working man. We could use a little peace and satisfaction. Some good people up front take the lead. A little less talk and a little more action. And a few more rednecks is what we need. Now they're trying to take my guns away, and that'd be just fine. Y'all take them away from the criminals first, I'm glad to give you mine. And I don't mind paying taxes, but it makes my temper itch when my hard-earned money goes just to make some politician rich. What most people call a redneck ain't nothing but a working man. He makes his living by the sweat of his brow and the calluses on his hands. Now you intellectuals may not like it, but there ain't nothing you can do, cause there's a whole lot more of us common folks than there ever will be of you. What this world needs is a few more rednecks, so people ain't afraid to take a stand. What this world needs is a little more respect for the Lord and the law and the working man. We could use a little peace and satisfaction. Some good people up front to take the lead. A little less talk and a little more action. And a few more rednecks is what we need. And a few more rednecks is what we need.